4CRB 89.3 FM, your radio station.
Welcome to The Law and You with Margaret Miller from Bell Legal Group. I'm here to help you with your legal issues and problems. If you can call on 5520 8888, I'll be able to help you with your problems. We have caller Carolyn waiting on the line. Good morning, Carolyn. What can I do to help you?
Oh, good morning, Margaret. I was just wondering, these days when your house is paid off, you don't actually get the deeds in paper form, do you?
You can if you want one. If you want a title deed, you can get one.
Oh, really?
But what's happening is the titles office has computerised their system, so everything is scanned into the titles office system, so you don't need a title deed.
No.
They have a designation on your title that no title deed has been issued.
Right.
And this is the safest way because they now make sure that everyone who sells a property or asks for a title deed provides proper identification. If you really want one, you can apply and get one for free, but it's a lot safer not having one. And the reason for that is that people have lost title deeds in the past. Unfortunately, there have been cases where people have taken title deeds from parents and got mortgages on properties that the parents didn't know about.
Right.
So it's a lot safer not having a title issued. But if you really want one, you can get one. And if you get one, make sure that you keep it somewhere very, very safe.
Yes, well, I was thinking more along the lines when we're both dead, it won't be a problem for our children to dispose of the property and that, would it? When the mortgage was paid off, I said to the fellow at the bank and he said, well, you know, your proof is that there's zero owing on your account.
Well, that's not the whole answer. You need to make sure that your bank has done a release of mortgage. When you've paid off your mortgage, your bank needs to file a document in the titles office to say that your mortgage has been paid off, and then the mortgage comes off your title. So your title is absolutely clear. Now, because there is a cost, it's probably a couple of $100 that your bank charges you. Some people forget to do it or don't do it or don't ask for it.
Yeah.
And I've had a number of estates that we've dealt with where we've gone to transfer the property and the mortgage is still sitting on the title.
Right.
So we have to get onto the bank and say, give us the release of the mortgage. And they say, give us $200 and we'll do it.
So, oh, good.
So just check.
Thank you.
Just check that your mortgage has been released from the title.
Oh, good. Thank you. I will do that. And thank you very much for your help.
You're welcome, Carolyn. Lovely to talk to you. We have another caller, Jenny. Good morning, Jenny. What can I do to help you? Hello?
Oh, hi.
Yes.
I have a question about how in a very, very difficult marriage that a husband was wanting to separate from his wife and it would not be at all amicable. It would be as difficult as it could possibly be. Is there some way that he would be able to separate himself from being responsible for any money that his wife might spend during the course of the separation?
Generally speaking, when people separate, they cease to be responsible for debts that they incur after separation, unless they're a guarantor for that debt. Say, for example, if the couple has a credit card together, then it's a good idea for him to go along to the bank and say, I want to cancel the credit card because I don't want to be liable anymore. If there's a mortgage, obviously he'll remain liable for that. Generally speaking, if you separate from someone, you are not responsible for debts that they incur after separation. But of course, if your spouse can't support themselves adequately and they need to buy necessities of life like food, or if there are children to support, then clearly there would be a case that the departing spouse should put their hand in their pocket and help out.
Of course. Now, in case of legal legal bills. The husband wouldn't be responsible for his wife's legal bills.
No, she's responsible for her own. He's responsible for his own. But if you go to the family court and have a fight where one of the parties is stupid and does silly things and makes life difficult in court, then the court has a discretion to make an order for costs against the naughty person.
Ah, okay. And at what age can a child choose which parent to stay with?
Well, that's sort of like a tricky question, Jenny, because the courts always take into account children's wishes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're old enough to know what's good for them. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes when parents separate, you get the Disneyland complex where when a child is with one parent, they get everything they want and they get discipline at the other home. So they would rather be with the fun one. So it's a matter for the court. The court does take the wishes of children into account, but of course they balance it against what's happening in the family situation. They make a decision that's in the best interest of the children. There was a recent case where there were children of 16 and 17 whom dad kept over in America and said, no, they want to live with me. He had to come back to Australia to have the case heard, and the court decided the children should live with mum. While the children of 16, 17 said, we want to live with dad, the court found that it wasn't really in the children's best interest to do that. So while they listen, the court also does a balancing exercise.
Okay. There was another question in my mind, but it seems to have slipped me at the moment. Not to worry. Anyway, thank you very much for your...
That's all right, Jenny. If you think of the question, just ring back.
Okay. Thank you.
We might take a message from a sponsor before we take our next caller, Erica.
Wish you can turn back time? Call our sponsor, Mayo Clinic Broadbeach, today for a comprehensive skin assessment with time-proven solutions. Mayo Clinic Broadbeach, 0423 489 838, catering for both men and women.
I've been to Captain's Candy. Have you? I was amazed with the size of Captain Pete's fully air-conditioned warehouse. From the giant bulk candy buffet to create your own colour-themed party, to shelves of different USA sodas, the licorice alley, and frozen foods from the Dutch shop. You must check out the wall of sauces with over 150 barbecue sauces, relishes and chilies. Our sponsor, Captain's Candy, opens 7 days at the Ashmore Factory Outlet, Central Park Avenue, and online captainscandy.com.au.
We're back to The Law and You with Margaret Miller from Bell Legal Group. It's only 189 days to Christmas. If you have a legal problem, call me on 5520 8888. And we have Erica waiting on. Good morning, Erica. What can I do to help you?
I just wanted to say you do a great job, Margaret.
Oh, thank you. I do it under duress. I can't wait for John to be back.
Okay. The problem is that my friend is telling me about a friend of hers. What she's doing is she's got a mortgage on a big house on the Gold Coast, and she's getting her mother to sell her house in Canberra and to move in with her so that money can go and pay her mortgage. And when she pays off the house, she's going to get a smaller house, probably with no steps. But the problem is that she has a sister, and they don't want to give her any money.
Well, why should the sister get any money? Is this, you know, have I missed something there?
Well, I thought legally the siblings have a right to the parents' will.
No, technically speaking, everything you own, you can leave it to whoever you like. There is a procedure in the Succession Act where if a reasonable, kind, proper person hasn't made proper provision for someone, they can apply for further provision from the estate. It's not a right. Generally speaking, if you've got adult children, they don't automatically get a share if they're not left something in the will. It depends on what their needs are.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, well, this lady, she wants to pay a mortgage off, but she's going to look after her mother.
Yes, well, my advice in a situation like that is always that if mum's going to sell her property and put it into a child's house, it should always be documented in some sort of a legal agreement in case something goes wrong. What happens if mum moves in and she doesn't get on with the daughter? The daughter who's paid off her mortgage might say to mum, see you later. So you need to make sure that an agreement is done. When everything's fine, you don't need an agreement. The agreement is for when things go wrong. And I've seen a few instances where mums have put money into a children's home and things have gone very bad. So I would advise that if the mother sells her house and is putting it in the daughter's property, that she should make sure that there is some sort of an agreement about what happens if they don't get on.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good idea.
Okay.
Okay, then. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Erica. We have a call from Susie. Good morning, Susie. What can I do to help you?
Hello?
Hello, Susie.
Hello. Yes. Look, my brother died, and actually the biggest problem is, once again, people being ridiculous doing their own will, so it has created a bit of a problem and more expense. He has left his second wife to, as in charge of the will, what's that called? The executor of the will.
The executor, yes.
Now, I am party to some of the money that's being left, but what is happening? She's being left money, and she deserves money because she did look after him. I've no disagreement with that. Mm-hmm. But she is quite off the planet, and she's not doing things correctly as my brother's wishes. It is his money. She's sort of taking over all her money.
Yes.
And she's not really obeying his wishes.
In what way is that?
She's doing things and giving people money that aren't in the will.
Well, she can't do that unless she's doing it out of her own share. An executor.
That's what she's promised them. But what is happening? What I'm going to say that she's not quite. Let's say she drinks a lot. She gets PISSED and has no idea what she's doing. She has no idea what her responsibilities
are.
And you're
a beneficiary of the estate.
I'm a beneficiary, yes.
All right. Yes. Now, if an executor goes crazy or doesn't do their job, you can always apply to the court to have them removed.
Yes, I realise that, but does it cost a lot of money?
It may do. It'll cost you approximately $10,000 for the privilege, but you would get the money back out of the estate if you were successful. I would advise you, if you're having difficulties with the executor, the simplest way is to get a lawyer and get the lawyer to write to the executor, because when executors know that lawyers are watching, they generally tend to do what they're supposed to do.
Yes, I've not worried about her getting money. I'm not going to be greedy, but she is giving to people and she's promising. This is when she is drunk. And they're telling her that because she's a Christian, she has to uphold that promise.
Well, Susie, she has to follow the will.
Yes.
And at the end of the administration of the will, all the beneficiaries are entitled to receive an account of what's been done, which is like a financial account of the bills that have been paid, the money that's come in, and how the estate has been distributed.
Right.
So
I just wanted to stop before it gets into a big mess.
Well,
because when people are alcoholic, they don't know what they're doing.
Well, obviously, if you're concerned, my best advice to you would be to get a lawyer to write a letter to her and let her know that you're watching.
All right, then. That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Susie. Bye.
We have a call from Jenny. Good morning, Jenny. What can I do to help you? Hello, you there, Jenny?
Oh, yes. Yes, thank you, Margaret. I remembered the other question I wanted to ask you. In relation to, pardon me, the children.
Yes.
I have always been told that the courts tend to favour the mother for taking care of the children, and I can understand that. In a case where a mother clearly has a personality disorder, is incredibly emotionally unstable, is driven by a deep fear, which has resulted in my being forbidden the children being forbidden to have any contact with me at all.
What's your relationship to the children? Are you
the
grandmother?
Grandmother. So in fear of being physically abused. And that has happened.
What does your son think about that?
He is appalled.
Good, okay.
He is powerless to do anything other than deciding that no matter what happened, he was going to reconnect with his brother that I live next door to and his mum, and he now sees us regularly. he said it doesn't matter what she does, we're his family and he belongs to us.
So has he separated from his wife at this stage, or were you just saying?
No, he's not. The only reason he stays is for the sake of the children.
All right. Well, Jenny, the advice that I can give you, and I've acted for a number of grandparents, you can apply to the Federal Circuit Court, which is the family court that would deal with it, to have some time with the children, because the way the law is written, the law looks at what's in the best interests of the children, and a basic tenet is that a child has a right to have a relationship with parents and others that are important to them, which includes grandparents and extended family. So if your son supports you, I think you'll be fine. You can probably contact Relationships Australia and set up a mediation, because the court would prefer that you do a mediation first. So Relationships Australia, if you contact them, you can say, this is my problem. They'll contact the mum and the dad and organise a mediation and try and resolve it amicably. Now, if you can't, then they will give you what's called a Section 60I certificate, and you can use that as your ticket to go to court. Now, as I said, the court will look at what's in the best interests of the children, and I've been very successful getting time for grandparents in the past. I don't agree that the courts lean towards the mother. I have also acted in cases where dad has had custody where it's been appropriate. So I think each case is on its own facts. The judges that sit in the family courts at the moment are very, very good at parenting matters, and they do take everything into account. It's worthwhile having a talk to a lawyer. You could probably go to a community legal centre if you wanted to have a discussion. I understand Robina Community Legal Centre operates Thursday nights at the Robina Community Centre, so you can get some preliminary advice there and then decide how you want to go.
Okay. Now, what guarantee would we have if I went down that road that my daughter-in-law being more or less forced into me having contact with the children, wouldn't still take it out on them because she's incredibly manipulative?
The court has ways of dealing with that. There is a positive obligation on parents to do what's in the best interests of the children, and this is why they've actually had cases in the family court where mum has got up and said, I'm not letting dad see the children, I don't care what the court says. And the judge has said, well, if you feel that way, you can look at the world behind bars for a little while you consider about obeying a court order. The courts do not like people who won't obey orders, and there's a positive duty on parents to do what's best for the children. And it's best for children, if there's a family law dispute, that they should maintain contact with mum and dad and other family members. Because don't forget, their world's fallen apart. They need to have some sort of stability and love and affection.
Yes, and the tragedy is the stability and the love and affection is all sitting and waiting for them and not being allowed access to it. But thank you so much again. That's clarified things for me a lot.
Jenny, I wish you well. It's a terrible thing when children are separated from grandparents. And, I hope everything works out for you.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. This is The Law and You with Margaret Miller from Bell Legal Group, 5520-8888. One of our clients contacted us recently because she had retained a tradesman to do a bit of work around her house. The tradesman turned up for a couple of days and kept asking her for huge amounts of money so he could buy materials. After the third day, he didn't turn up and he had $10,000 of her money. Now, I can't tell you enough that you need to be very careful about tradesmen. If you get tradesmen who are going to do work that's more than $3,000, it must have a written contract. They must be registered to do the work with the QBCC. You can very easily do a license search on the internet to make sure the person has the qualifications that they say they do. And there will always be a record if they've done the wrong thing on the QBCC site. If they're not going to give you a written quote or something in writing, if they don't shape up as a tradesman that's registered to do the work that they're doing, flee from them. Don't hand over your money. It's a terrible situation for someone to be in, but unfortunately there are so many fly-by-night tradesmen, and it's not a good idea to get into a cash deal for that simple reason. This is The Law and You with Margaret Miller from Bell Legal Group, 5520-8888. There's a few minutes left for one more caller, if you've got time to make the call. Otherwise, I'll tell you about the Do Not Call register. I've noticed lately that I'm getting these very strange calls on my mobile phone where someone speaks Chinese to me. I have no idea what that's about, but it reminded me to mention the Do Not Call register. If you don't want to get marketing calls, you can get up onto the website, register on the Do Not Call register for your home phone and your mobile phone, and people are banned from calling you. It's always a good idea to stop the marketing calls at the source. Erica, is this the same Erica as before?
Hello.
Hello. How are you, Erica? What can I do to help you?
Travel insurance, travelling around Australia.
Yes.
How do I find one of those companies?
You can Google them on the internet, or you can ring your insurance company that does your home insurance and ask them if they would recommend anyone. Travel agents will recommend travel insurers. I think I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, where I read an article that said you can buy a 12-month travel insurance policy, which works out cheaper than if you buy a short one to go on a trip. So what I'd suggest to you is contact your travel agent if you're dealing with a travel agent for travel, or your bank or your insurer, and they'll be able to steer you to the right place.
Okay, thank you very much.
Don't forget, too, that if you have a gold credit card, you automatically get insurance on that card for travel. But check, of course, what the conditions are.
What sort of card?
It's a gold credit card, not the basic credit card. It's, I think, the next one up. So check with your bank and see if your credit card comes with travel insurance. Some of them do.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Erica. This is The Law and You with Margaret Miller. I've had another enjoyable morning with you. John will be back in July, and he sends his best wishes from Lake Louise in Canada.